2005. Okay, one of the first questions that we ask is, do you remember when World War II started, either in 1939 or 1941?
Sure.
What were you doing? How did you hear about it? And what was your reaction?
Well, I was working at Boeing at the time. We was building B-29s.
Okay.
And I think that attacked Pearl Harbor on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we was on our way back to Wichita, and I believe that's the way of it. And when we heard of Pearl Harbor.
Okay, so you were born here.
I was born at Havlin.
Okay, Havlin. And then you had graduated from high school and went to work at Boeing?
That's right.
Okay, how did you get to Boeing?
Well, if you could, I went to work at Stearman.
Mm-hmm.
Boeing wasn't in Wichita yet.
Okay.
I went to work at Stearman, and we was making primary trainers for cadet training. And if you could, the way I got my job was, if you could make the basketball team, why, you had you a job.
Okay, the basketball team for the cadet?
No, for Stearman Aircraft.
Oh, for Stearman Aircraft.
That's right. They had a basketball league going in Wichita.
Okay.
And they was they're building up a basketball team.
And who did you play?
I played with a outfit they call Bell Clothers.
Okay.
And all of the members of the team had jobs at Stearman.
And then you would work during the day and play?
Oh, no. You had your job at mm-hmm. Stearman, and then you would play of an evening.
Okay.
And practice of an evening, see.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boeing came along, and we've transferred, most of us has transferred down to Boeing, and they started building the larger planes. See.
Okay, so go back. You said you were, when you were at Stearman, you were building trainers.
PT, primary trainers.
Okay. Can you sort of describe or tell a little bit about that?
Well, they were just biplanes, and that was where the Air Corps had these PT trainers to start in flight training.
Okay.
Flight training.
All
see.
Right. And so these planes, and did you have a particular job that you did?
Oh, yeah.
What did you do?
I've done spot welding.
And uh-huh. Did they train you to do that, or did you already know when you
No, I didn't know a thing about it. Mm-hmm. First time I ever heard of it. I think that was the beginning of spot welding, period,
mm-hmm.
which now has gone to automobiles and everything is welded, spot welded, see?
Mm-hmm.
See? Yeah, but I think that's where spot welding started, was in the aircraft industry.
Okay.
It was all new.
Okay, and the planes, when you first mentioned it, you said something about trainers for the cadets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what were the cadets?
That was the first step for flight training.
Okay. And
see?
You said that you at one point volunteered for that?
I volunteered, but they didn't need any more. I took my physical at Strother Field in Ark City,
mm-hmm.
and my physical at Wichita U, and just waiting to be called. And but the war, see, had, this was like in 44.
Okay.
The war had been going a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they had enough cadets, mm-hmm. so they didn't need any more, so they canceled the cadet program, and that wiped me out.
Okay.
See, mm-hmm. all the cadet training that had signed up was automatically washed out.
Okay,
see?
And then you were eligible for the draft.
Then I was eligible for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay, so you were working at Boeing, and what year did you start there? Do you remember?
In about August of about 40.
Okay. And you were building the B-29s?
We started building the B-29s, mm-hmm. Yeah. In about 43.
Okay. And the B-29s replaced, or maybe not replaced, but they were after the B-24s?
Oh, yeah. See? Oh, yeah. They needed... The Pacific is the only place the 29s was used.
Okay.
It was a large four-engine plane.
Mm-hmm.
And the 29 was designed and built for the purpose of bombing Japan, period.
Okay. All right.
Without having to invade it,
mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And now that that is the reason, don't get me wrong, they just used that while they used the 29 for a lot of bombs. Mainly, it was incendiary bombs, mm-hmm. to burn them out.
Okay.
And they done that.
Okay, all right. So, did Boeing design the B-29?
Oh, you sure?
Okay.
Sure. See, the Army had to have a large four-engine plane,
mm-hmm.
and just out of the blue sky, they designed it and they put it in production before they had ever. They had never built anything like that before.
Oh.
Nobody had.
Mm-hmm.
And they just started up. They had these designs, and they just started building them. Of course, the Army needed them bad.
Right.
And they didn't test fly any of them or anything. They just flat wanted them, and they started building them.
Okay.
Of course, they improved them as they went along.
Mm-hmm. So you, again, were spot welding.
That's right.
And... did Boeing work three shifts, or?
Oh, sure. Sundays and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted these planes to be ready,
mm-hmm.
for this Japan deal. See, they never did use them in Europe.
They used B-24s in Europe, is that right?
B-24s, B-17s, mm-hmm. the Flying Fortress and the B-24s. That's what they used in Europe.
Okay.
That's right.
Did you know anything about airplanes and flying before?
No. Come off the farm.
Okay. All right. Then why, if you came off the farm, why did you want to work then?
Well, basketball was incentive right there.
Okay. All right.
Because when I went to work down there, mm-hmm. it was hard times.
Okay.
And if you could make a team, why, the personnel director, he just took me in a side door. Mm-hmm. I signed up. And here was a great big long line of people trying to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it made you feel kind of bad, mm-hmm. just to walk in the side door and the next day I went to work,
mm-hmm.
see? And these people...
Well, that was because you had the basketball skill.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's the only reason in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
What was it like to work at Boeing during wartime?
Oh, it was fine and dandy. Of course, you had to work. You had different shifts, mm-hmm. and they would move you from one shift to another, depending on the workload and the personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they's hiring employees like they's going out of style, see,
mm-hmm.
because they needed employees.
Did they hire both women and men?
Oh, you bet. Sure. Probably more women than men.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So the crew or the area that you worked with, there would have
department.
Been... Department. There would have been the women that eventually they were known as Rosie the Riveter.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Was there any difficulty with the men and women working together?
No, not a bit.
Okay. Did Boeing have a basketball team?
Boeing had a basketball team. They did. They later developed a basketball team. But I was with this, what they call Bell Clothers. Now, that was a clothing store downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sponsoring this team.
Okay.
And then, see, when I went to work down there, it was Stearman. Boeing wasn't even down at Wichita that time.
Right, yeah.
We was building these PT trainers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then along came this... This blueprint of this B-29, and then they built the plant, and then started hiring people. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, why people that had some experience, they was needed worse in the 29s than they were in the PTs, see, mm-hmm. primary trainers, see. Mm-hmm.
What, do you remember what your pay was?
You kidding?
No.
I started in 25 cents an hour.
25 cents an hour?
Oh, sure. Sure.
And you would have worked an 8-hour shift?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you figure that out, and that's not much money.
No. Now, were you married at that time?
No, I was not married at the time.
Okay.
But then we got married. We was married in April the 27th of 41.
Okay.
And then the war broke out in the fall, you know, mm-hmm. December the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I tell you, it, not much money.
Where did you live? In Wichita? In an
Wichita.
Apartment or something?
In an apartment.
Okay. And did that, your hourly wage increase? You were there for several years. Did it go up to like 50 cents an hour? Or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It went on up. I can't tell you just exactly. And then after you were, been there, you know, some experience and everything, well, then you was put over other people, see? Mm-hmm. See, departments, assistant foremen, crew chiefs, first one thing, another, see?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You worked on up to, I don't know, after, I don't know when it was, but then you went to a time, and then you put on a salary mm-hmm. in place of hourly wage.
Okay.
See.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were there security measures because it was an aircraft plant that you were aware of?
Well,
you know, now we're so security conscious.
Yeah. No, not at that time.
Okay.
Not that time. Of course, they had security people all the time,
mm-hmm.
but never was any problem that
okay.
I ever knew of.
All right. When you weren't working and you lived in Wichita, were you friends with fellow workers, and did you do things together?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. We lived there, and we lived three or four places in Wichita. You know, apartment houses and let's see, what do they call them, North, where we lived there on South Kansas?
I don't know what they're on there.
Huh?
It's okay.
We call them, okay, that's enough. But duplexes.
Okay.
There you are, duplex. That's what I'm trying to get.
Okay.
We lived in a duplex with other people there. See? On South Hydraulic.
Oh, okay. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you had a car?
No.
No, so how did you get to work?
Oh, there. There's no problem to get to work. There was people, you know, that had cars, and they'd come by and pick you up, and you'd, of course, gas is no problem, you know, I mean, money-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So how did you get around Wichita, like, to go to...
Bus.
A grocery store with on the bus?
Buses.
Or you walked?
That's right, one of the two.
Okay. Well, now, the war, like you say, it started, I mean, we were involved in 41... And you were working in an aircraft plant, but how else did the war effort affect you in your life? I mean, were there certain things that you could or could not do or could or could not get?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know anybody that suffered from any of that stuff, but you had the essentials.
Okay.
It was no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the frills, why... people have now, you never even thought of them because it wasn't available.
Right.
They weren't even available then,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay. All right, so you're working at Boeing, and then you're drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And you were drafted from out here or in Wichita?
No. You was drafted from Boeing. And the way I was drafted was the fact that they had these planes. They had a large number of these 29s built.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they kind of needed trained people that had built them to service them.
Okay.
So it just made sense that when we went, I wanted in the Air Corps because I had a brother that was down in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, above all, get in the Air Corps.
Mm-hmm.
So when all of us, well, a lot of us fellas went to up to Fort Riley, Fort Leavenworth, I don't know which one was, and was inducted, why, we had a letter. None of us knew what it was, but it was a letter that we was automatically in the Air Corps because of our 29 experience.
Oh, well, that was good.
See, yeah, uh-huh. See.
Okay.
And so we was automatically, we were just automatically put in the Air Corps and assigned to 29 overseas bases, see.
Okay, so did you have to go through basic training?
Oh, yeah.
And where did you do that?
Camp Carson, Colorado.
Okay, for 6 weeks?
Shots.
Okay.
Pull your teeth.
Pull your teeth?
Sure.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Nerve is dead in them, they said. I think it's just so a captain could get another bar, you know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, and could you describe basic training, what you thought about it?
Basic training was all right. I can't.
You can talk on this.
Okay. she's writing some stuff there.
So basic training, was it hard?
No, it was a snap.
Okay, so how old would you have been when you... You were born in 20, you went in, so you were 24 years old when you went into the...
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard to follow orders and obey?
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay, and then after basic training, did you have more training?
No, after basic training, you just automatically shipped to a overseas base, okay, where they had these 29s.
Mm-hmm. And where were you shipped to?
I shipped to Harvard, Nebraska.
Okay.
Harvard, Nebraska.
Okay.
And that was an overseas base. See, they had 29s. They were training crews,
mm-hmm,
flight crews.
Mm-hmm.
And while I wasn't, I had nothing to do with the flight crews, but you do your maintenance on the plane, see, mm-hmm, see.
Okay, now when you say an overseas base, that means that the B-29s that were flying would fly over into the Pacific, do what they needed to do, and then come back here for maintenance?
Oh, no.
No, okay.
No. These planes were strictly training planes. They were 29 training planes.
Okay.
And when a crew, when, say they was there for... 3 months,
mm-hmm,
training,
mm-hmm,
flight crews, and when they that time was up, they would have new planes that would be would get to the flight crew,
mm-hmm,
and then they would take that new plane,
mm-hmm,
and fly to the base.
Okay.
And but they no they wouldn't take the plane that they had trained.
Okay, so this was these overseas bases were strictly for training.
That's right, strictly.
Okay, and then what role did you play in maintenance? Did you have a particular duty? Or
yeah, we done sheet metal, all sheet metal work, repairs,
mm-hmm,
replacement of parts, and even on the training planes, there was a certain amount of upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your maintenance duty. That was your job, see.
Okay, so how many planes would there have been there that you were responsible for?
Well, I was in the 21st Squadron, and there was about Oh, there's about 25 planes assigned to the squadron, see. Mm-hmm.
And did they have regular schedule for maintenance or just...
No. They, of course, these crews would fly, you know. They was in the air. I mean, they had their flight training.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it be night or day or both.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever maintenance work was required, why, then we would do our part, see.
Mm-hmm.
See.
But you didn't have, you just, there was just the day shift of maintenance or?
Principally, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the married fellas, most of the married fellas, they lived off the base.
Mm-hmm.
And their wives could, you could live, say, and with quarters, based with, you know, housing and.
Right.
And we was stationed at a near, wife and I, we, and other fellas and their wives were there.
Mm-hmm.
And really it was a break, you know. It mm-hmm. was a break, whereas lots of people, you know, they left their families and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't leave our families, you know, until we went overseas. See?
Mm-hmm.
See?
Did you, do you remember what you what pay you received when you were in the Army? Or, I mean, sorry, the airport, Army Airport.
I don't know.
Would it have been less than what you received at Boeing?
Oh, are you kidding? Oh, yeah, but, you know, I can't tell you what it was. I don't know, but, I don't know what it was. It was according to your rank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if, you know, just being a PFC, you know, I suppose around $45 a month.
Okay.
But I really can't tell you. I forget. Wasn't much.
If you were married, did you get more?
You got a little addition to that, but it wasn't much.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't much.
Okay. Now, when you were you on a particular crew that you all worked together at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we all worked. We wasn't assigned to any plane. Mm-hmm. They had some X number of planes.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones, if such and such plane need work on, why? Or this and the way, why? Then you'd work on it that way, see?
Mm-hmm.
See?
Did you, how did you keep up with, how did you know what was going on with the war?
Oh, you kind of, I don't know, you don't have communication like we got now, but you know, they still had radios, I really don't know. I don't know really.
You don't remember reading newspapers and keeping up that way?
No, I do.
Okay, do you remember when victory was declared in Europe in May of 45?
Well, it was overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was a big deal, you know.
Okay, were you always in Nebraska, or?
Oh, no.
Okay, where else did you go?
Well, we spent the winter in Nebraska there. Mm-hmm. with our flight crews. And then we was shipped overseas in the spring of 45.
Okay, to?
To Guam.
Oh, okay.
And there was, that's where the planes were stationed,
mm-hmm.
the 29. And of course they had, I don't know how many planes they had there. They probably had, I don't know. There was, Guam was the headquarters for the overseas, for the Air Corps, as far as Japan is concerned, but there was Tinian and Saipan and Guam,
mm-hmm.
and they were all in the Marianas,
mm-hmm.
a group of islands.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I don't know, as far as Guam's concerned, where I was, I expect there probably 150 or better planes. See, there were several squadrons.
Mm-hmm.
See, and we wouldn't have nothing to do. with any of those other planes other than our squadron.
Okay.
Just like we was at the training base. See.
But there were bases that the United States had set up. Were they permanent bases or temporary? Did you live in tents?
Temporary. Well, we lived in barracks.
Okay.
Yeah, we lived in barracks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our quarters was A-OK, you know.
And what?
Satisfactory.
You were in Nebraska and shipped out, so you went to the West Coast?
Mm-hmm.
And did you fly over or take a ship?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We took a train. We was aboard a troop train, went to the West Coast. And then we was flown from West Coast to Hawaii and Hickam Field. And then from there, then we changed planes and went on and made another stop or two. I forget the islands. And then wound up at Guam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did you think when you were leaving the United States?
I'd never rode on a water-based plane before.
Now, by water-based, you mean flying over?
It was landed on water and took off in the water.
Oh, it did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And it was pretty rough taking off. You'd hit those waves, you know,
mm-hmm.
before you were airborne.
So how many men were on this?
Oh, I expect there's probably 60 or 70. I don't know what there was. Really, I don't.
Okay.
Might have been more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Really, I don't.
Yeah. Well, and especially being raised in Kansas where there's very little water, I'm sure that was gave you something to think about. Well, when you got to Guam, what was it like on Guam?
Oh, it was just an island with coconuts and
mm-hmm.
and gooks. That was the natives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, the climate was fine.
Mm-hmm. Quite was, warm, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is nice. It is warm.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, at that, they would fly in and out on missions. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, they would leave maybe, depending on, of course, it's all they was bombing then was, of course, Japan, you know, the homeland.
Mm-hmm.
And, they would leave maybe at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd have night raids, you know. Then the next morning, well, then they would begin coming back, see. And they'd make those raids depending on fuel and stuff like that, you know. But it might be a couple of days or three before the flight crews would... they'd make another run,
mm-hmm.
see,
mm-hmm.
depending on, I don't know, the orders from headquarters, you know.
Mm-hmm. So when you were there and you needed maybe a part or equipment or tools or something, or they needed bombs for the plane or food, how were those supplies brought?
Well, say the... far as the artillery or the bombs, as you say, we had nothing whatsoever to see or do with that.
Okay.
That was, they had nothing to do with the maintenance, mm-hmm. and we had nothing to do with that.
Okay.
That was completely a different line.
Mm-hmm.
See, and we never had nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
See.
So basically you just knew what you were did that.
That's right. That's it.
Okay.
You betcha.
Okay, what, we can go back a little bit to basic training and to, you know, when you were in Nebraska. Just talk about maybe parts of the experience. What was the food like? Was it difficult? Of course, you lived...
I lived off the base.
Yeah, so that was different for you
then. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We killed lots of pheasants.
Going pheasant hunting?
Why? Nebraska's run over with pheasants.
Yeah.
And we had lots of pheasants to eat.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you get to come home When you were in Nebraska, did you get time off?
No, we never did. I don't think we ever did go home. No, okay. We never did go home.
Huh? Got to Wichita.
No.
Okay.
No.
On a.
No. We never did. We never did have a leave.
Okay, and then when you went to Guam, did you stay in Nebraska or did you come back
here? No, I came back.
She went back home.
My folks lived at Kelsen then.
Okay.
And yeah. I worked in France then.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Right. And so you were in Guam until the end of the war,
That's right.
In 46.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We flew. Yeah. Of course, they flew you. And when you're discharged, why, you come to the States and... You was